NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Adrian Ma.
And I'm Weilin Wong. As we head into this election year, one of the major economic themes we're following on the show is the disconnect between positive economic indicators and negative consumer sentiment.
That's right, because we see inflation tapering off and unemployment still at low levels. The economy has so far avoided a recession.
But there are some warning signs starting to flicker in the U.S. economy when it comes to the health of the consumer. So today on the show, we look at three areas where people are feeling the pinch.
This message comes from Apple Card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase. That's 3% on products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply. Support for NPR and the following message come from State Farm. As a State Farm agent and agency owner, Lakeisha Gaines understands the support small businesses need.
Every day, we get the privilege of helping people to recover from the unexpected, realize their dreams. For small business owners, we help them to think about all the things that are necessary so that they can continue to run their businesses successfully without interruption.
Talk to your local agent about small business insurance from State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Today, we're looking at three signs that show where consumers may be struggling after years of high inflation, plus the end of pandemic-era federal support.
And before we get to those three signs, it might be helpful to remember how big a financial cushion we got in those early pandemic years.
Economist Peter Ganong is a professor at the University of Chicago. He studies how households are doing economically. And he says the median household saw its bank account balance go up by a whopping 50 to 60% at the start of the pandemic.
There was a really big increase in people's bank account balances, both because income went up and because they pulled back on spending. The next 3 years has basically been gradually working through that backlog and gradually returning to normal.
In other words, people are spending down those fattened bank account balances. At the same time, the last couple of years of high inflation have eroded their purchasing power, so that money isn't going as far.
And Peter says the increase in people's real income is slowing down. That's income with inflation taken into account.
It sort of seems just by accounting that as income growth slows down, one of two things has to happen. Either spending growth has to slow down, or we will see people draw down their savings and increase their borrowing in various ways.
And credit card balances, in fact, have been climbing and climbing. The New York Fed tracks household debt, and it found in the fourth quarter of 2023, credit card balances hit a record $1.1 trillion.
Now, Peter says rising credit card balances aren't necessarily a bad sign. They could point to optimism, you know, people spending more because they're expecting their income to go up.
Yeah, but it is a worrying sign if people can't pay off their credit cards. And that brings up our first area where consumers are feeling the pinch, credit card delinquency rates.
The New York Fed says that in the fourth quarter of 2023, more than 6% of credit card balances fell into what's called serious delinquency. That means they're at least 90 days behind. Delinquency rates for credit cards are back on the rise after falling during the early part of the pandemic.
As measured by credit cards, people's health got a lot better in terms of fewer people being behind on their credit card payments. And now the share that are behind in their credit card payments is going back up, and it's actually higher now than it was pre-pandemic. And so, yeah, that does seem like a piece of bad news to me.
The Federal Reserve's interest rate hikes in 2022 and 2023 led to higher interest rates across the economy for everything from mortgages to auto loans. And for credit cards, the typical rate went from around 15% at the start of the pandemic to just over 21%.
I mean, that is a 42% increase in credit card rates. It's a huge jump. And that's made it even harder for people with delinquent accounts to catch up.
Researchers at the New York Fed said their data on credit card delinquencies is a signal of increased financial distress, especially for younger and lower income households.
And it's among lower-income households where we find our second sign that consumers are feeling the pinch. That sign is falling sales at Family Dollar.
Family Dollar's parent company recently released its quarterly earnings report. Those are the official numbers that publicly traded companies report to shareholders and securities regulators.
And the company said that same-store sales fell 1% in the latest quarter from a year earlier. In that same report, it named a culprit, a reduction in SNAP benefits, formerly known as food stamps.
During the pandemic, SNAP recipients got a temporary boost in benefits. This extra money stopped in 2023, though. According to one estimate, households in some states lost nearly $100 a month in food benefits. Others lost upwards of $250 a month.
Karen Gardner is a senior policy associate at the Center for Science and the Public Interest. It's a consumer advocacy organization focused on healthy food.
Folks who already have limited incomes and limited access to healthy food, when budgets are even tighter, they are making really hard choices about what to feed their families.
Karen worked on a 2022 survey of SNAP recipients and low-income consumers who live near dollar stores. Most of the people who participated said they shopped at least once a month at Dollar General, Dollar Tree, or Family Dollar. And the survey showed also that most of these shoppers were buying food at dollar stores to stretch their budgets at the end of the month, or when SNAP benefits were running low.
But now their options might be limited. Family Dollar has announced it's closing 600 stores this year. Its parent company owns Dollar Tree as well, and another 400 Family Dollar and Dollar Tree stores will be shutting over the next few years as their leases expire. That's 1,000 stores that are going away, and that could put further pressure on shoppers that don't have other options for food. Karen says it could mean traveling further to shop or needing to use food banks.
In some rural communities, the dollar store is the closest and only grocer for a while. I've been wondering a lot about where those dollar stores will be and hoping that we'll learn more soon.
So to recap, so far we've talked about credit card delinquencies and dollar store sales. Two signs consumers are feeling economic pressure as pandemic savings run low. Our third and last indicator has to do with a specific kind of savings, retirement savings.
And this sign is maybe not as clear-cut as the others we've talked about, but it definitely caught our eye. Vanguard recently reported that 3.6% of its customers with retirement plans initiated a hardship withdrawal in 2023. That means they asked to take money out of their retirement accounts to cover an immediate need, like a medical expense or to prevent eviction or foreclosure.
And it's worth pointing out this 3.6 figure is a record. It's up from 2.8% in 2022. And Vanguard says the increasing rate of hardship withdrawals could signal financial stress.
But here's where it gets a little complicated. Economist Peter Ganong says there's been some important changes to 401k plans in the last several years. More employers are now automatically enrolling their workers in 401k plans.
That means lower-income workers now have this new kind of financial cushion. It's supposed to be used for retirement, of course, but it can also be tapped for unexpected crunch times. Meanwhile, Congress has made requesting hardship withdrawals easier for customers.
So when it comes to these increased hardship withdrawals, Peter says more data is needed to know how worried we should really be.
It makes it harder to interpret this as like an indication of stress unless you account for all these sort of institutional changes that are going on in the background.
So we've covered credit card delinquencies, dollar store sales, and hardship withdrawals from retirement accounts. All these add up to a bigger picture of how some consumers are feeling the pinch right now, especially those people at the margins.
If you've got other warning signs, maybe ones you're seeing personally that you want us to look into, we would love to hear about them. You can write us at indicator@npr.org. This episode of The Indicator was produced by Cooper Katz-McKim with engineering by Ko Takasugi Chernovin. It was fact-checked by Sierra Juarez. Kate Kincannon edits the show, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.
Every time you drive your car, have a package delivered, or get on a plane, you're polluting the climate. But it doesn't have to be that way.
Nature is powerful. Why don't we use it to our advantage?
Meet the people working on cleaner ways to get around on Here and Now Anytime from NPR and WBUR. Transportation Climate Solutions on Here and Now Anytime, wherever you listen to podcasts.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election: guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beat. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.